Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Trampled Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, November 25th, 2023. I am your host, Andy Vaughan, and with me, not as always, but regularly and more regularly than normal, is Joey Slenzak. How you doing, Joey?
Hey, Andy. Not too bad. A little tired from that little journey back home, but absolutely worth every minute of it, and glad to be back and get to see your face again. I know it's only been, what, 3 days?
Three days, but... 3 days or something like that. So, of course, Joey was is a regular co-host on the Trampled Bet, but was over in the UK all the way from Michigan for the best part of 2.5 weeks recently and flew home, what, 2 days ago, Joey?
Yeah, so I got home this past night, so it was probably, I think it was Sunday was my last day, and well, technically Monday was my last day in Glasgow.
Yeah, and then down to Manchester, all the way across back home. So Good to see you made it safely. Regular listeners will know that we are absent regular co-host in Gordo. Gordo's currently on his honeymoon in Australia, and it shows you where his priorities lie, the fact that he is not here to record with us. On what is almost 11 p.m. on Wednesday night UK time, what's that for you, Joey? About 5 o'clock? In the afternoon?
Yeah, we're pushing a little after 5:30. We're pushing 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. And where Gordo is just now, I presume, would be 7 in the morning or some such. So we're really covering all the time zones. But no Gordo this week. Joey and I will soldier on with just the two of us. And the first order of business, as always, is to recap last week's show. But due to the international break, there was no show last week. So we're actually recapping 2 weekends ago, and we'll run through it really quickly. This is a show that I wasn't on. Well, I was on at the beginning, but I didn't participate in the main body of the show. So Gordo and Joey, quite humorously, came up with picks they thought that I would like or go for. And I think, to be honest, you did a pretty good job. Albeit you did.
We did okay in a couple of them.
You did, and I had earmarked some of these games. But when we get to the outsider, I will pull you up for that. And in fact,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, because it's a conversation that we had before the game even kicked off. So let's run through the picks from a fortnight ago. So Joey and Gordo had me in Germany for Leverkusen versus Union Berlin. Union, obviously, on a terrible run after starting the Bundesliga season reasonably well. The Leverkusen win here was 2-7, and they obliged with a 4-0 victory that was paid out after 57 minutes. So well done, Gordo and Joey. On to Gordon's banker, Juventus versus Cagliari in Serie A. Take the Juventus win here at odds of 2-5, and that also came good. They won 2-1. It was paid out after 70 minutes when Juve went 2-0 up, so there was no stress when Cagliari pulled one back with 15 minutes to go, with the Bet365 payout already secured, which meant for the banker treble, it was in your hands, Joey.
Yeah, I had Gwangju to avoid defeat against Daegu in the Korean League, and that finished 1-1. Gwangju took the early lead, and then they traded blows back and forth in the second half. Daegu really threatened in that second half, but they never really looked dangerous enough to score. And just saw it out 1-1.
Yeah, perfect. Great shout in the double chance at odds of 1-2. So we got a decent banker treble in, which is what we're always aiming to do on the show. Interestingly, I text you when Gwangju, the team that you'd backed on the double chance, went a goal up and said they should really early pay out that. Because that is similar to taking a two-goal lead in the 1x2 market. It's the same.
More or less.
You have that two-goal cushion now. In order for your bet not to come good, the other team's going to have to score two unanswered goals. But hey, we didn't need it. The one all was fabulous. On to the value picks then. And Gordo and Joey, in the style of me, had me in Denmark for Silkeborg versus Randers. And a Silkeborg win at odds of 4-5. Now, when I heard that this was the pick they came up with for me, I was quite happy about it, in all honesty. I thought they were good odds for a Silkeborg win. It didn't come in, though. The game ended 1-1. Randers took the lead after 20 minutes. Silkeborg pressured, got that equaliser in the 85th minute, and then missed a penalty in stoppage time to actually win the game, which is pretty devastating, really. You don't really get closer than that.
To be fair, I mean, that was probably the most fitting way that could have actually gone down.
Yeah. Just
with all of the heartbreak you've had in the past with the stoppage time BS. And so it's like, yeah, in hindsight, I was looking at that as both to score and over 2.5 at any point, or just both to score. So when Randers took that first goal, I was like, yeah, there's no bother there, really. Yeah, that's kind of what we were expecting. But yeah, the fact that they missed that penalty at the end was definitely the icing on top. It was like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
And as Gordo said in real time, he was like, well, that was quite an handy pick, missing a stoppage time penalty.
So I guess We still did okay in that sense.
Gordo's actual pick last weekend, Laval against Concarneau. He loves dicking about in the French lower leagues. The less said about this game, the better. He'd backed Laval at 8-11 and they lost 3-0. So let's just leave it there and move on.
Yeah, my value pick was my slight homage to Dave Greenfield, and I like to think I did okay with this one. It was Stockport. I liked them to win against Swindon Town, and they won 4-2. It was a little dicey at first. I wasn't expecting it to be a 1-2 or a 1-0. I knew there'd be some goals in this one, much like that Magdeburg pick. And Swindon took the lead twice in this game, but then Stockport finally equalized and then grabbed their first lead in the 71st. And then ultimately got the early payout in the 89th minute. So all good in the end there.
All good in the end. Great pick, Joey. A 4-2 win. Every time they went down, you always thought they'd get back into it and ran out deserved winners. On to the outsiders, and there was only three games left in the Japanese season. This was Urawa versus Kobe that you and Gordon selected for me, and it is a game that I did have earmarked. However, and you said this to me, what do you think I thought of this game, Joy?
I thought for sure you would have had that earmarked as a win for Kobe. Initially I thought it would have been Urawa, but that was sort of jokingly, but I kind of knew your head would kind of be on that Kobe needing to win to just secure that title. And sure enough, we can roll out on that one.
They did end up winning. Now, Gordo and you had this down as a draw, and absolutely fine. Totally got the reasoning behind that. However, very important game for Kobe to win. And they did win thanks to a 97th minute winner. But this was only after Urawa had equalized in the first minute of stoppage time. So Kobe had the game, gave it away in the 92nd minute, and then re-got it in the 97th minute. However, Urawa were 8 points behind Kobe with three games to go, and when they got that equalizer, threw everything at it.
No, you can't possibly be going with that angle. I mean, that's the only angle you could possibly justify it.
What else are they doing?
And so that's kind of the beauty of this. So yes, this did turn out as a 2-1 win for Kobe, but if anybody happened to watch those highlights, they might have noticed that literally in the last minute of stoppage time, Urawa send their goalkeeper up into the box, trying to put a little pressure on, grab that late winner, thinking that sure, there's no time left. Okay, sure, whatever. He goes too far in. He gets in the middle of where the ball is going, falls down, so he's completely out of the play.
Out.
Goalkeeper grabs the ball, and fair play to the Kobe keeper. It was a brilliant pass, absolutely unbelievable outlet pass. And then the two defenders that were back for Kobe for Urawa, they just did fuck all. They sat off, and then they didn't like actually try and, I don't know, not get scored on.
Well,
they just let the guy have a free shot at goal, and
that
was a tough one.
You've got to think the only reason that happened is the Urawa realized they're playing the league leaders. They're 8 points behind them. They're three games to go. This would cut the deficit to 5 and they would still have title hopes. So just All guns blazing. Chance. Let's win it or lose.
Chance. That is just straight up delusion.
Hey, you got to throw the bag at it, Joey.
That was a tough one to say. Hey, I guess so. Yeah. They out of AFC Champions League. So yeah, that was their last hope at anything. So
out of the Champions League, out of the Levain Cup, yep. they lost the final. Couple of weeks ago. So yeah, Urawa, I guess, went out in a blaze of glory. But the overall thing is
we got our just desserts with that one.
The game did not end a draw. Gordo's outsider, Auxerre versus Saint-Étienne, France Ligue 2 again, had this down as a draw, odds of 13-5. However, this ended up 5-2. The stats tell a much closer story, I believe. Both teams had 14 shots each, 7 on target for Auxerre, 8 on target for Saint-Étienne, 45% to 55% possession. So Gordon had it down as a close game for a draw. And the stats sort of level up with that. They certainly level up more with that than the 5-2 scoreline it ended up. However, yeah, our banker blushes absolutely. Were saved by you.
Yeah, I always love this for a draw. And it would have been nice to have that draw Trixie come in. But I had Anderlecht versus Ghent, and another. I think this is as much just one of those matchups. Two of the top teams, neither of them are going to want to give any leeway to the other one. They're not going to lose footing. So, pick these guys at the right time in terms of form. And this finished a 1-1 draw. And they're like equalized in the 45th plus 4th minute, and then they played out a tight second half and just finished 1-1.
Fantastic, excellent result in the outsider spot there, Joey. Well done. And then finally, every week we select one team each and put £10 of our own money on the treble, with all proceeds going to charity should we win. And this week, the charity treble went as follows. For my pick, Gordo and Joey, again in the style of me, obviously back in Japan in a very important game between second place Yokohama F Marinos and mid-table Cerezo Osaka. The Yokohama win here was 10-11. And I did really like this pick because they're a team that have won the league twice in the last 4 years. They know what they're doing. They're not going to crumble to pressure, especially at home at the end. And they did win the game 2-1. They took the lead midway through the first half. They were pegged back right at the end of the half, went ahead with a penalty early in the second half, and then had a man sent off in the 65th minute, but held on and saw it out anyway, which is a very important result for them. To keep them 2 points off Kobe in the title race with just the 2 games to go now. But that meant a 10-11 charity pick winner. On to Gordo. And he had Almeria versus Real Sociedad in La Liga. The Sociedad win here was 8-11. And they obliged and went and won the game 3-1. It sounds a lot more one-sided than it was. That was 2 stoppage time goals from Sociedad securing the win and technically an early payout in the 96th minute, but you know, but claiming an early payout there is factually correct, but it's not that early, is it?
We take them where we can get them.
Exactly. Which meant 2 out of 2 on the charity, and you're already 3 out of 3 for the whole week.
It was looking pretty good. And in the first half, it looked really good. I had Hertha Berlin to beat. And I think this is what happened here. I thought it was Kaiserslautern, but it was actually Karlsruhe they're playing.
Oh, are you now going back and saying you didn't actually like this pick?
Oh, no. I did the whole write-up and everything. I knew which game I was looking at, but I think I was looking at Kaiserslautern for both to score an over 2.5 and one of my other both to score bonanzas. And so I got them mixed up when I was writing the names down. And so halfway through that, kind of figured that out. Gordo definitely is like, yeah, no, I think they're playing Karlsruhe. But anyway, so took the early lead, Hertha equalized in the first half. And then they took a 2-1 lead into halftime. But I think Karlsruhe was a little upset with me, and they wanted to get back at me for calling them Kaiserslautern. So they ended up scoring in the 81st minute. Wow. And brittle. So to equalize 2-2. And we were at the Glasgow Clan match, actually, myself, Andy, and Chris. And so we're kind of keeping tabs on it. Oh, they've just equalized. Okay, there's still 9 minutes. It's still a little bit of time. Not to be. I think I pissed off the wrong German team, and they decided to spite me by ruining not only the charity treble, but yeah.
Another four out of 4 week for you. Yeah, it would have been another 4 out of 4 week for you, but unfortunately,
so that's what I get.
And interestingly, us getting those notifications while at the clan game, that wasn't the biggest capitulation we saw that night by any stretch.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
So yeah, Glasgow Clan are an ice hockey team, obviously based in Glasgow, Scotland. So I think during the midsection, we'll maybe hear of some of Joey's adventures. You can describe to the patrons what you got up to in your time in the UK. And we're about to head to that midsection. So regular listeners of the show, you'll get the ad break coming up on the normal podcast channels. But if you're a member of the Trample Bet Club on Patreon, you get the midsection where you get to know us a wee bit better. We shoot the breeze. You hear some of the picks that we like for the weekends that perhaps didn't make the show because we found other ones, but we still like them. So a little bit of extra content and a little bit more chat. And that's coming up now. If you'd like to be a part of the Trample Bet Club, it's £6 a month. It gives something back to the show, helps support us. And you get a whole host of handy other things as well, like the cheat sheet, which is all the picks written down. Just go to tramplebet.com for details of that, and we'll see you after this short break.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back, and now on to this week's picks for the weekend of Saturday, November 25th, 2023. Running at two-thirds capacity this week as Gordo is on his honeymoon, but you will get the normal set of picks from myself and the normal set of picks from Joey. So a banker from each of us, value from each of us, outsider from each of us, and then one pick each for a charity double this week, which hopefully means we're going to hit it. Because it's been a
absolutely. That's usually the plan. Yeah.
I mean, we've been close. We've been getting two out of three a lot. And the interesting thing is, it's always been a different host that's let it down each time. It's not like there's been a regular charity loser.
Exactly.
It's been going around. So let's hope that it would have been Gordo that let it down this week, and the two of us can ping that charity double. Let's start with the banker bets then. It's going to be no surprise to regular listeners of the show that I'm going to be in Japan this weekend for what is the showdown of the Japanese J-League. Two matches left. Two teams can now win it. That's Vissel Kobe, who lead the way, and Yokohama F. Marinos, who are just 2 points behind. And for my banker bet, I am going to side with the Yokohama F. Marinos to win their game on Friday morning at 10 a.m. against Albirex Niigata and really put the pressure on Kobe. In fact, overtake them in the league, albeit only by 1 point and probably only for less than a day. But it's a game they really need to win. If they don't win this home game against a mid-table team, they might as well just write the season off. Only two games to go. 2 points behind leaders Vissel Kobe. Playing a day before, Kobe hosts Nagoya, which is a reasonably tough game, certainly tougher than the Marinos hosting Albirex Niigata. F. Marinos are excellent. They're the best home performers in the league. 36 points taken from 16 home games. They've scored 36 and conceded only 15 goals in Yokohama this season. Albirex Niigata, 10th place in the 18th team league, so mid-table team. No danger of relegation, nor can they achieve any Asian Champions League spots. Their season's basically done. The game really matters to the F. Marinos. They're a team with a history and a pedigree of winning. They've won this league 2 out of the last 4 years. And you're getting a big price and a home win here. It's 3-5 on Bet365. So better than 1-2, higher than the 1-2 that Gordo says a banker should never be higher than. But, you know, he's not here. So
it's okay. He's not here this week.
He's not here. Yeah, exactly. And we're having to pick up some slack in terms of odds wise. You know, we can't be running with two.
It works out great.
Can't be running with two people and putting out 2 1-6 shots. So we're getting a 3-5, nice 6-1 early in the weekend, 10 a.m. UK time. It's a huge situation. It's going to be a great game. It'll be live on the J League's YouTube channel, free to watch. The coverage on that's excellent. So yeah, they're my banker for the week, looking to get the weekend off to a great start. And also get to watch a pretty important and good game of football with a wee bit of stake invested in it from myself. So Yokohama F Marinos.
Absolutely.
3-5. What are we doubling that with for the banker double, Joey?
So for my portion of the banker double this week, I hadn't even realized it before, but this is going to be not only a double, but just a Friday banker double. Both of these matches are the only two matches on Friday for us. Really? I hadn't even put that together beforehand, but I'm looking at Hamburg to win against Braunschweig on Friday at 7:30 p.m. And so the home win is going to be 3-10, just shy of 1-3. And this is second place Hamburg hosting second bottom Braunschweig. And I mean, this is as straightforward as it gets. I can obviously go into this as deep as I possibly want to, because I love just being thorough about anything and everything when it comes to these spots. But Hamburg struggles have really just come down to away form this season. They've picked up 18 points in their 6 home matches for 18 of their 24 points overall. And obviously, quick maths, that's a win in every single home match so far this season. And there have actually been 5 straight wins, 2-0 for Hamburg. Braunschweig, on the other hand, they're second bottom for a reason. They've lost 8 of their last 12 matches overall. And they've actually lost 8 straight away matches in all competitions, including 5 straight league away matches, all being losses to nil. That's really all you need to know. It's 3-10 for a reason. And so the beauty of Andy going a little bit bigger with Yokohama is that banker double. I actually looked it up earlier and it kind of pushes us high enough. But if you want to go a little bit spicier for this one, get a little bit more value, halftime full-time lead for Hamburg is a phenomenal shout at 1.7, 1.8-ish. Braunschweig, they've been losing at halftime in 6 of their last 7 away matches. And I think this could very easily turn into a 3-0, 4-0 just dominance for Hamburg. I think this is one of those matches where you really just need to put the emphasis. This is your mark on the league. Hey, we're not messing about. These are the games they need to win, and I think Hamburg will handle it well, very comfortably.
Love it. That's 2 home wins then, albeit on other sides of the world. A win for the Yokohama F Marinos and a win for Hamburg. And because of those quite big banker prices, the double's coming in at over 1.1-1. So that's pretty good. We're hitting 2.13 there, Joey, to use your decimal system.
We're doing all right.
We're doing all right. And as you say, both Friday games, that could be an excellent start to the weekend. On to the value picks then. This might as well be a Friday game. Saturday at 5 a.m. in the morning, UK time for me. Again in the Japanese J-League. Again, a really important game at the top of the table. If it's a big game for Yokohama in my banker slot, it's at least equally important for Kobe here in the value slot as they play Nagoya Grampus 8. Should things go to plan for me and Yokohama on Friday, Kobe will now be 1 point behind them in the table, but with this game in hand and then one further game to go. Kobe have the better goal difference here, but only by 4 goals, and that can get eaten into rapidly, especially if they drop points. So if Yokohama are to win and they were only to draw, that 4 goals becomes at least 3, maybe less. Maybe 2, maybe 1.
Yeah.
So a win here is actually hugely important, and that goal difference isn't big enough that they can really rely on it. Kobe have also never won the J-League. So
really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of surprising.
So this is huge for them. They've got 65 points from 32 matches, and Nagoya are a solid team. They're 51 points from their 32 games, and they're 5th in the table. But Kobe have kept up their title push with a great end to the season. They're top of the five-game form table in the league. They've taken 13 points from their last five. They've scored 9 and conceded only 3. Whereas Nagoya have stuttered to the end of the season. Their title challenge really faded. They've picked up only 5 points from the last 5 matches, scoring 5 times, conceding 7. They're also not good away from home. They're 5th in the overall table, but they're 10th in the league's away from home table with 19 points from 16 away games. So they're not as formidable an opponent here as you'd first think just looking at the overall standings. Kobe dug deep last time out, showed great resolve to get a big win away at the Urawa Red Diamonds. That gives me confidence that they'll go out here against Nagoya and they're able to dig deep again. The reason that I'm including them in the value slot and what is a potential banana skin is the home away split, is how important the game is for Kobe, and the fact that they're almost even money against a team that's not in good form at the moment. 10 to 11 for a Kobe win, and I'm going to back them to do it. So that's basically both the two title contenders in Japan both winning this weekend is what I'm looking for. The home win for Kobe here, 10 to 11.
Yeah, I think we're kind of getting down to that nitty gritty point of the season, and every match is just as crucial as it seems. So you know Kobe are just going to take that one seriously. So I'll be joining you in the Asian continent, and so I'll be in Korea this time for Suwon FC against Gangwon. And I'm going to like the away double chance here. So Suwon FC, not Suwon Samsung Blue Wings. We have to do this every single time I bring them to the show. But Suwon FC on the double chance. So the away or draw at 7 to 10. So that's going to be on Saturday at 7:30 a.m. And so just like the J-League, there's only 2 matches left in the K-League. And this is a crucial matchup in the grand scheme of the relegation process. So basically, relegation split, championship relegation split, the top half, so the all of the safe spots are already sorted in the relegation split. So this is just a battle for who's getting automatically relegated and who's going to give themselves a chance. And Suwon FC and Gangwon occupy the 2 spots that allow you to give yourself a chance. So this is just as important for Suwon FC to make sure they hold on to that first, I guess, we'll call it the first loser. The last spot just before safety. And Suwon Samsung Blue Wings, so the other Suwon team, are 1 point behind Gangwon. So obviously they're going to turn up for this. But both sides are in this predicament for a reason. I'm not going to try and sugarcoat it. These are 2 teams that are struggling. It's been far too many draws and losses and not enough wins this season. And that's why they find themselves fighting for either automatic relegation or at least a chance to kind of defend yourself. But I just can't get behind Gangwon being even money favorites here. This could go any way in terms of draw, away, win. But Gangwon have only won. They've only won 3 of their last 23 matches overall.
Whoa.
And yes, Suwon have struggled. Yeah, exactly. And they're even 2.1, just over even money, pretty much creeping around even money. And so that's ultimately what's going on here. But a lot of Suwon FC's losses this season have actually come against teams in that upper championship group. And so far in their last 7 matches, they've only lost 2. So I'm fully expecting both teams to score here, just given how much these teams are attacking. And I would imagine Gangwon would try and go out and have that initiative just to give themselves a good push. But assuming Suwon Samsung Blue Wings, who are in the last spot, assuming they lose against one of the teams that aren't qualified, Seoul, this week, a point doesn't hurt everybody in this situation. But I can damn well guarantee that if Suwon FC get that 1 point and can at least have 3 points of gap for that final day, they are absolutely going to take that. And the fun part here, the icing on the cake, Gangwon have actually only just won 2 in the last 13 meetings head-to-head between these sides. And Suwon FC have won the last 3 trips to Gangwon. Both teams to score on the double chance at just over 2.5-ish sounds like phenomenal value to me. And ultimately, that's why I was kind of fighting between taking both teams to score as my banker and then switching Hamburg -1.5 for my value, but I think this is the best way that we can attack this game. And both teams are scoring double chances, a great way to boost that value and really add a little spice to this one.
Both teams to score.
The double chance, I can't see Suwon FC. So the pick for the the pick for this value section is Suwon FC double chance.
Suwon FC double chance. Excellent. 8-8 to 11 on 365 just now. Let's go with that. But I love the reasoning. And hey, it's complicated. You've just described a very complicated situation. This is a good time to plug the fact that if you're a member on Patreon, you get the cheat sheet and the pick written down. So the two value picks this weekend are a win for Vissel Kobe at home to Nagoya Grampus and draw or Suwon FC in their game away at Gangwon FC. The double combines to 2.29 to 1. So better than 2 to 1 for the outside for the value double. On to the outsiders then, and this is where we look for games that we think the underdog, or certainly an underdog result, has a good chance of coming in. For me, that game is in England in the Premier League at the weekend, a good traditional UK kickoff time of 3 p.m. on a Saturday for Sheffield United versus Bournemouth. Not the most tantalising prospect when it comes to football matches here. 18th placed Sheffield United hosting 16th placed Bournemouth. Sheffield United started the season poorly. However, in the last two games before the international break, they beat Wolves at home and then managed to pick up a point away at high-flying Brighton. So a bit of an uptick in form. Bournemouth are similar. They beat Newcastle 2-0 just before the international break. Though it should be pointed out they were the home team there. The game before that, they were hammered 6-1 at the Etihad by Man City. Now, a lot of teams are going to do that, so don't read too much into it there. It's their overall away from home record that's concerning. It's the worst in the entire league. Only 1 point taken away from home from 5 games this season, scoring 5 times and conceding 17. Interestingly, you mentioned the head-to-head record in your Korean game, Joey. Head-to-head-wise here, Sheffield United just do really well against Bournemouth. The last 19 games that they've played, Sheffield United have won 11 times. There's been 6 draws and only 2 wins for Bournemouth. The last time Bournemouth won this fixture as the away team, and I know you wouldn't, like, I know I'm asking you to guess randomly here, but have a guess.
I think the tricky part here is just with everyone moving up and down between the Premiership or the Premier League and the
It was more than 19 games.
I'd have to say probably, I'd say the late 90s, maybe?
1987.
So, 87?
Wow. It was a while ago. You're right. They don't play every season because they're teams that change division. But the point is, head-to-head-wise, it's been a long time. Bournemouth don't win this fixture very often, and it's been a long, long time since they won this fixture in Sheffield. With the fact that both teams have got off to slow starts, Gordon would probably be shouting at me here to take a draw. But with the terrible away track record that Bournemouth have this season and the head-to-head history between the teams being so lopsided in Sheffield's favour, I'm going to back the Blades to get a home win here because the odds are better than 2-1. They're 11-5 for Sheffield United, and that's big enough for me to side with them for a home victory. Joey, what do you have for your outsider? Considering you hit yours last week, people probably want to know what yours is.
So, let's not get too carried away. That the outsider wins for me, they come few and far between, but as we say with the early payouts, we'll take them when we can get them. So hopefully I can make it 2 in a row here. And we talked about if Gordo was here, he'd be saying that, oh, it should be a draw all the time. So not aside, including my current outfit for the Patreon members here, I've got my Hibernians kit on, not only in honor of Gordo, but I'll double down on that with a Hibs draw. Ooh. In the true Gordo sense. And so Dundee United, or not Dundee United.
Careful.
Dundee FC. I know. I'll behave. Dundee FC hosting Hibernians. And I like a draw on the spot at 9-4. So that's going to be on Saturday at 3 p.m. And so the Patreons will see. I not only have my Hibernians top on, but I also have a Dundee United scarf on because this is the ultimate F Dundee FC spot. I had to make sure I dressed appropriately for this one. And so these are two sides close in the table. And if you look at their goals for and goals against, very similar. I think Dundee FC are slightly higher than Hibernians, maybe two spots, but their goal differential is essentially zero. Rightfully so, because I think the reason why they're in this good position is this good bump of form and winning three of their last four. But I personally am just not sold on that. Two of those wins came against bottom team Livingston, home and away, which to that extent, we'll give them some credit going away. But otherwise, they've had four draws and two losses in Old Firm matches. So the one nice thing I'll say about Dundee FC is I won't hold that against them in their last nine matches. And currently, Hibs kind of find themselves on a bit of a draw form with five draws in their last eight overall. And they've actually had three draws in their last four away matches, all of which happen to be 2-2. So perhaps a bit of foreshadowing. But I think the key here is going to be that Dundee FC's only win in their last 15 meetings against Hibs came last season when Hibs clinched safety in the relegation group. So otherwise, it was more or less a dead rubber for Hibs. So obviously, you'd expect Dundee FC to be putting more into that. And still, even then, it was 3-1. So it wasn't quite as clean cut as it might have looked on paper. But there's actually been six draws in the last 15 meetings between these sides, and three draws in the last five meetings, two of which came in the last three times these sides met at Dundee FC. So I think this is a great spot. And as Chris so affectionately dubbed it while I was over, this is what I'm going to call the Joey special. And hopefully we can get yet another draw. And in this case, the Joey special specifically will be the 2-2 draw. And 1-1 wouldn't surprise me at all, but I think this will be a great shout for a 2-2 draw.
Fantastic. The 2-2 draw is, it sounds great, but we're going for a draw, just a straight up draw.
I will take a draw in any capacity.
A draw.
You know my ass will have I'll have a little bit on that 2-2 draw.
Fantastic. So that means an outsider double, a win for Sheffield United at home to Bournemouth, and a draw between Dundee FC and Hibs. That takes us up to 9.88-1, which, if you include the 2.5% ACA boost that you get on Bet365, takes it over 10-1 for the outsider double. Yeah. So a nice big price there for those two shouts. Okay, the important business of the charity picks for this weekend. Really keen to hit one, so let's see if we can do it. Saturday, 6 p.m. for me in the Danish Superliga for Viborg against FC Copenhagen. We're 15 games into the Superliga season. Copenhagen, they still lead the way, albeit only by 3 points now from both Brøndby and Midtjylland. It's my opinion at the beginning of the season, it's still my opinion that they have the strongest team in the league. However, they've been held back a wee bit by the fact that they're competing at the highest level in Europe midweek in the Champions League. They've had a very busy schedule, and for a team from Denmark, that's been difficult to balance. With the international break just finished, however, they can return to league duties a wee bit more refreshed than normal. Their opponents, Viborg, eighth in this 12-team league, 16 points from 15 games. They don't have a particularly daunting home record either, so they're seventh placed in the home game table only, just one place above their overall standing. So it's not like they have a big platoon split that we need to be worried about here. They've picked up 12 points from 7 home games, scored 10, conceded 9. Copenhagen, unsurprisingly, the league's best performing away from home side. They've managed 17 points from 7 away games, scoring 17 and conceding 10. The teams have played 4 times this calendar year in 2023, 3 times in Copenhagen, once in Viborg. Copenhagen have won all 4 of those matches, 2-0 once and 3 times by a 2-1 scoreline. They'll be keen to keep progressing at the top of the league against a pretty mediocre Viborg team, and they'll be keen to keep progressing before their European schedule kicks back into gear. So I think it's a nice time to back Copenhagen to win here before we get back into the madness of having midweek fixtures again. And I like the price of 4-5, which is just shy of even money. So leg one of the charity bet is a win for Copenhagen away at Viborg.
Yeah, and so for my portion of the charity double here this week is going to be Wrexham hosting Morecambe. And I like both teams to score in over 2.5. You can get that just shy of evens around 1.9, 1.95, depending where your books are at right now. I know a lot of them are starting to come in a little bit. But so that's going to be on Saturday at 3 p.m. And I will preface this by saying that Wrexham have done well defensively so far this season with 5 clean sheets in their last 11 matches overall. But if you look a little closer, 4 of those 5 clean sheets came away from home. And Morecambe have actually managed to score in 11 of their last 12 overall matches. And they've seen both teams to score in over 2.5 in 7 of their last 8 away matches, scoring 2-plus goals themselves in 5 of their last 7 away. So ultimately, this is two sides with potent offenses, scoring 2-plus goals in 7 of their last 9 overall and 7 straight at home for Wrexham. And Morecambe have also scored 2-plus in 8 of their last 12 overall for Morecambe. So I'm fully expecting both teams to score at the very least in this spot. I think Wrexham, they're kind of in that position where they can go away from home and they can set up. But once they have to take that initiative and they have to put that onus on the match, that's when they kind of find themselves getting caught out a bit. I think Morecambe are scoring quite a few goals lately, and they're kind of running into this form where I think they should be able to unlock that defense. And so I think both sides are more than capable of scoring 2 goals themselves. And so if you want to get a little spicier, go both teams to score 2-plus goals, both teams over 1.5 team totals. But I think there's phenomenal value on both teams to score in over 2.5 in this spot at just shy of evens, pretty much around evens if you're lucky, if you can catch it.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't mentioned this to Andy yet as well, but regardless of what the odds come out for the double, I'll offer to match my portion of it to make we'll double the stake since we lost a leg of the charity treble.
Double
charity double. We'll double it up and hopefully we can donate a bit of money for a good charity this weekend. And personally, the Patreon members will see, but I've got my little Movember mustache shaved out here a little bit, so hopefully we can work out who it ends up going to. But if we're able to, in some capacity, create a trample bet Movember charity portion contribution, that'd be awesome. So I'm more than happy to contribute my portion of the charity double, and we'll double that up and hopefully give a little bit more to charity this year.
Wonderful. Very, very generous of you, Joey. Thank you for that. And yeah, we'll throw it to somebody's Movember contribution, because I'm sure that all the funds end up in the same place. So the charity double this week then is a win for FC Copenhagen and over 2.5 goals in both teams to score in the matchup between Wrexham and Morecambe. The double of that comes in at 2.51 to 1. So the tenner would turn into £35.14. We want to double that. That's £70.20.
Absolutely.
Which hopefully we're announcing next week goes to the Movember efforts of men across the world. If you like all the picks and you want to throw, I always back the mega coupon. So all 8 picks this week combined to 258 to 1. So I'll have a little fiver on that. Obviously, it's not as big as when there are 3 votes on the show and we're turning fivers into potentially 15 grand, just £1,300 or so this fiver would turn into. But, you know, you wouldn't knock that back.
It's a good start, and then gives us a little more ammunition down the road for those future mega coupons.
It does indeed. Joey, thank you very much for joining. Just before we wrap up, to mention that we, of course, have a Facebook group. Just search Trampled Bet Podcast on Facebook. Ask to join the group. Come and join the community. Free to join. Great community of folk. I think we're almost at 300 now, which is pretty cool. And that's just people all with an
interest close
in the show and with sports betting, where we talk about the picks from the show, picks that people like for the weekend, and in all sports, not just football or soccer, as I've got to say that because Joey's on the show. got to put out there for the American contingent, football or soccer. We talk about all different sorts of sports in the Facebook group. We also have the Patreon channel. Just go to tramplebet.com and you'll see the Patreon link there. give something back to the show, costs £6 a month. But you get to see us enjoy resplendent in his Hibernian top with Dundee United scarf. And you get the midsection of the show, so the bit where we all just shoot the breeze when the regular show goes to an advert, and the cheat sheet, which is all the picks written down, and you can pull that up on the Patreon app, so you don't have to remember any of the picks that you liked, or if it was Sue on Blue Wings or Sue on FC or Dundee United or Dundee FC or what's going
on. Or just there. Sift through all the random nonsense that I babble on about throughout the picks. But yeah.
So there's lots
definitely,
going on.
Definitely helpful.
Lots going on Patreon. And we really do appreciate everyone that's a member there, because we do not make money from this show. Everything that's put in through the Patreon goes into getting better equipment, making a better production. And huge thanks to Gary Black, our producer, who's rarely seen on the show itself, but puts in a power of work behind the scenes to get this podcast out every week. So we shout out for you there, Gary. Thank you very much. And it was great to see you at the Dumbarton game this weekend that Joey and I attended.
Absolutely.
That was Gary, of course, saying, he's like, I feel like I talk to you every week, Andy, but really I haven't seen you in about 4 years. so that was fun. So. Thank you again, Joey. Thanks for your time. Good to see you made it home to the States. Anything you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Well, usually this is where I'd insert my my weekly whoever DCFC is playing, go on, Lance, but we didn't quite make it to the that far in the playoffs. So right now we're just focused on Detroit Red Wings. Hopefully we can get some good banter going in the chat in the Facebook group, and then yeah, obviously, I just cannot express how happy I was to be able to see everyone over in Glasgow. You guys took care of me for probably about 2.5 weeks, pulled out all the stops, and made sure I had an amazing time, which I think you all know, everyone that I saw and everyone a part of this group, Andy, Chris, Gordo, John, Gary. I think you all know how much that truly means to me. So it was great to really... see everyone and have such an amazing time. So
wonderful. And
up the trample bet.
You'll have to come back soon.
Oh, you know, I'll be back before you know it.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Joey. And thank you to everyone for listening. Good luck this weekend with your football bets. And yeah, have a great weekend. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trample Bet podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon, and Gary Black. Part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sport-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.